Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Mem Gimel. We are holding a daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. We are at Eisvei, a few lines from about six lines before the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honorable wife and children, and in the Zecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha. It is also sponsored by Jeremy and Tamar Lussman, and by Soraya and Shana Sobel. Soraya and Shana Sobel, in commemoration of the 8th yard site of their grandmother, Ann Lussman, and in honor of the 54th Triple Chai anniversary of their parents, Mark and Elsa Lussman. Wow, that's quite an anniversary. They should be zochet to many more happy and healthy years together. And we thank the Lussmans and the Sobel family very, very much for that sponsorship. Yashar Koach. So today we're going to first of all finish our discussion that we started yesterday with this whole machlokas between Rabba and Abaye, where Abaye seemed to have innocently asked Rabba a question, but then as soon as Rabba answered the question, Abaye started attacking him about when exactly a payment turns from a knas payment into a mamun payment. Is it b'shas hamad b'din? Is it b'shas kaviya? So we're going to finish up that conversation first, and then the Gemara is going to spend the entirety of Amud Aleph, really, and the majority of the daf discussing a girl's maisi adayim after the father dies. Meaning, we know that when the father is alive, a young girl's maisi adayim goes to the father. What if the father is dead and now she's being supported from the father's estate, which technically belongs to the brothers because they're the ones that are yoresh, but the estate has to support her. So do we assume that because the brothers are technically supporting her, they get the maisi adayim, or do we say no? Maisi adayim is a din la aviha. The brother, and it's the father's estate that's supporting her. They're not supporting her out of their own pocket, and therefore they're not entitled to the maisi adayim. The Gemara is going to talk about in that context whether a father is morish any of the rights that he has in his daughter in dinei mamonos to his sons. Is there anything that a father is morish lebanav in terms of his rights within his daughter? Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about whether the girl or her father collects her ksuba if she got married as a nara, meaning there's a ksuba that's written when the father gives her over for kiddushin as a nara. So that ksuba, who collects on that ksuba? Is it the girl or is it her father? Derech agav, just the way the Mishnah set up the case, it leads the Gemara to make a diuk about the halacha of an isha katlonis, about how many times a woman could be married and have her husband die before we say this woman is dangerous, that you can't have her get married anymore. And then the Gemara is going to discuss at the end of the daf whether the shibud nechasim of a ksuba takes effect mishas erisin or mishas nisuin, meaning maybe she's going to come to collect the ksuba and the husband doesn't have any money left. He doesn't have any nechasim b'nei chorin. So what about properties that he had sold? So that's meshubah to the ksuba. But properties that he had sold when? What if he sold them between the erisin and the nisuin? Is the shibud nechasim, did the shibud nechasim already kick in at the erisin, or does it only kick in at the nisuin? So that's going to be at the end of the daf. So let's begin. We are at Eisvei. So Abaye is going to once again ask on Rabba. What did Rabba say? Rabba had explained within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that a carbon shvua is different than all other dinei Torah. That even though normally when it comes to a knas, once you have a hamad b'din, the knas transforms into mamon. In that, mod b'knas is no longer potter. Once there's a hamad b'din, you're going to be chayiv based on your hoda'a. But af al pikein, you're not chayiv a carbon shvua for a kfira on for denying owing that which is ikaro knas, that which started as a knas. Meaning, even though there was already a hamad b'din, and the father went to the guy and he said, "You owe this knas money," and there was already a hamad b'din, and Bezin already said you owe the money, and the guy denies it, and he swears to the denial, and then he admits that he had sworn falsely. You would think that's a denial of mamon because there was already a hamad b'din. So no, Rabbi's mechadish, that's not a denial of mamon, that's a denial of knas, and therefore there's no chiyuv shvua because ikaro knas. So Rabbi Shimon challenges from the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos. So Eisvei, so Abaye, Abaye challenges Rabba from the Mishnah Masechta, from Rabbi Shimon's statement in the Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. So Eisvei, Abaye challenges Rabba the following, that it says in Masechta Shavuos that Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says you don't bring a carbon shvua when a person was denied the father's claim that he was ma'anes the daughter, and he swore falsely to it, and then ultimately he admitted to it. And the reason why he doesn't have to take a shavua on such a thing is she'enu mishalim knas al piatzmo, because the din is that a modu b'knas is part of from paying. So the only way you could be chayv b'knas is if Edim testify that you had committed that crime, and therefore by being kofer the father's claim, you didn't really pater yourself from anything, because even if you would have been moda to the father's claim, you would have been pater anyway, because it's a kfir, it's moda b'knas. So it turns out from Rabbi Shimon that the whole reason you're pater from the carbon shvua was because moda b'knas would have been pater. So time of Amad B'din, when is moda b'knas pater? That's only before the Amad B'din. But ha'amad b'din, d'mishalim al-piyatzmo. But once you already get to the stage of Amad B'din, where it's turned into mamon, where now you are mishalim al-piyatzmo, where now we no longer say moda b'knas is pater, carbon shvua nami m'chayiv, then the carbon shvua is tully in that. Then you should be chayiv carbon shvua as well. Meaning, what Abaye is challenging Rabbah on is that Rabbah made a distinction between the two dinim as it relates to mamon. Meaning, we say what distinguishes knas from mamon? Two separate things. One is that moda b'knas is pater and moda b'mamon is chayiv, and the other distinction is that there's only chayiv carbon shvua on mamon and not on knas. And Abaye and Rabbah had said, yeah, but those two dinim are not a tali zebazeh. That when it comes to hamada b'din on something that was ikaro knas, so legabe moda b'knas, we're going to say that once there's hamada b'din, it's mamon. But legabe shavua, we're going to say it always remains a knas. But over here you see that Rabbi Shimon says that it is tali zebazeh, that once there's hamada b'din, it's mamon, and therefore once it's mamon, it's the moda b'knas is going to be chayiv, and therefore there's also going to be a chayiv karmen shavua. So Rabbi responds, Rabbi Shimon l'divrei d'rabban karmen lehu. When Rabbi Shimon says that it's tali zebazeh, he's not saying his own shita. He's talking within the shita of the Rabbanan. And he's saying, lididi afal gav da'amad b'din rachman apatre mivikichesh. If you're going to ask me, I hold that even after the hamad b'din, you're still not going to be chayiv karmen shavua, because it's ikaro knas. And there's a gzeiras hakosuv from vikichesh that only if the guy denies those list of items that the Torah tells us that are that a denial of owing will result in a chiyuv karban shvua, only those items. But something that's ikaro knas, there's not going to be any chiyuv karban shvua. That's what I hold. But lishitaschem, that you disagree with me and you hold that there is a chiyuv karban shvua when a person denies a claim of onus umafata, odulimias hecha delamad b'din, at least be moda that prior to the amad b'din, the chikatava knasakatava, that when the guy's being toveo and the father's telling the rapist that you owe this money, that you did this to my daughter, what he's really saying is you owe me chamishim kesef. That's what he's really being toveo. He's being toveo knas. So and modu b'knas pater, and the halach is that a modu b'knas is pater, and therefore there should be no chiv shvua whatsoever. For Rabbanan Sabri, and the Rabbanan say no. Ki katava bosh subagam katava. When the father goes to this man and says you were ma'ani sesbiti, and therefore you owe me, he's not saying you owe me knas. What he really means to say is you owe me boshas begam. That's what he's really after. And when the guy denies and he says lo anasti, lo petiti, it's really a kfiras mamon, because he's being kofar in the boshas begam, and that's why he's going to be chayav a karban shvua. But if the father would have mefurish said, and therefore you owe me chamishim shekel, and therefore you owe me a knas, then in a chinami, if the guy would have denied that and sworn falsely to that and then admitted, then the rabban would say we agree. Then there would be no chayav karban shvua, because that's not a kfiras mamon. That's a kfiras knas. So, but they hold that what he's really after is the mamon and not the knas. So at the end of the day, what are Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan disagreeing about in a case where a man claims anastu petita esbiti, right? Meaning we know that Rabbi Shimon thinks that what he's after is the knas payment, and what the Rabbanan think that what he's after is the boshas b'gam payment. Why would each one say that their shita? What? I mean, the guy's chayav all those things. So what leads me to believe that he's really primarily after one and not the other. I understand that maybe we have to assume that he's not primarily after everything at one time, because it's likely that a person that has a mindset, this is what the Mefarshim explained over here, it's likely that a person has a mindset that if I go after him for everything at one time, it's only going to encourage him to deny. It's going to encourage him to say that he didn't do it, and that he's a, so I want my best chance of him admitting that he did it, so I should only go after him for one thing. But why would that one thing be knas, or why would that one thing be dafka boshus begam and not knas? So Rabbi Shimon holds that he's really after the knas because the boshus begam is an unknown. There is no set amount for boshus begam. So he's gonna first go for what is quantifiable and what he knows the amount is going. What he knows the amount is going to be, and that's the knas. The knas is always chamishim shekel. So when he says anas to petita zbiti, he's saying, and therefore pay me the knas. The Rabbanan say, no. If I'm going to ask for one thing, I also have to be cautious of success. What if I tell him you did this, and the guy says, yep, I did it. So if I'm asking for boshus begam, when he says, yep, I did it, then I'm going to get the money. I'll still get paid. But if I ask for knas, and I'm expecting this adversarial relation where he's going to say no, but what if he admits to it, then he's not going to have to pay it. So I'm not going to go after the knas. He might not have to pay it if he admits it. So I'm going to go after the boshus begam. But both of them hold that it's not the derech to be toveya all of the chiyuvim at one time, because you're always worried that it's going to be so overwhelming for the person that it's going to cause him to deny and swear to that denial. So you'd rather be toveya just one thing. So the halachah, so the Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, is which of the chiyuvim does the person prefer to be toveya? So when all the dust settles, it turns out that there, in the conclusion of this sugya, and this is the conclusion of this sugya, that there are three points upon which the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon disagree. Number one, they disagree. When do we consider the knas of onus mafata to turn from a knas payment into a mammon payment? According to the Chamim, it's mishas hamadu b'din, just like every other knas in the world. That at the time of hamadu b'din, that's when it becomes mammon. And therefore, that's when modu b'knas is no longer going to be potter. Once there's hamadu b'din, if the guy's moda, then he's going to be chayav. But according to Rabbi Shimon, it's only mishas gaviyah. All other knasos in the world are mishas hamadu b'din, but by onus mafata specifically, it's at the time of collection. Second point of disagreement is the carbon shvua on the denial for the chiyuv of onus mafata. According to the Chachamim, you're chayiv a carbon shvua because the tevia was on the boshus begam primarily, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you're pat from carbon shvua because the tevia is on the knas. And whenever there's a tevia on a knas, even davar sheikaro knas, you're going to be pat from carbon shvua. So what is the guy looking for? What is the father looking for when he says onas upititas biti? The Chachamim say he's looking for the boshus begam. Rabbi Shimon says he's looking for the knas. And the third point of disagreement is whether there's ever a carbon shvua on something that is ikaro knas. That according to the Chachamim, once you became chayiv knas in Beis Din, it's now turned into mamon, and therefore it could be subject to the dinim of carbon shvua. If you deny it and swear to the denial and then admit to the lying in that swear, you're going to be chayiv carbon shvua. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, anytime anything is ikaro knas, if it started as a knas, then there's no chayiv carbon shvua. It's an exception to the din of carbon shvua. Period. That's the end of that discussion. So now the Gemara moves on to discuss. We know the halacha is that if a father dies, so the daughter gets mizonos from the nechasim that the father was morish to the children. So the shaila is, okay, but what about her maisiyah dayim? What about whatever she produces? Does that go to the brothers? So minat Torah, certainly not. Minat Torah, certainly that's not one of the rights. There is no right that the brothers have in her maisiyah dayim. The Gemara's whole suffix is whether the Chacham made such a takana that after the father dies, the Maisi Adayim should go to the brothers. So, if a girl's father dies, and she's therefore being supported from the father's estate that the brothers have inherited, so Maisi Adayim, who gets the Maisi Adayim? Does she get to keep them, or does that go to her brothers? And the two tzadim are b'makom av kaimi, that they are taking the place of the father, in that the father used to be the one that supports her, now the brothers are the one that support her. So ma hasa maisi adel av hachanami maisi adel achin, and therefore it would be reasonable for the Chacham to be masakein that just like when the father was alive, he received the Maisi Yadayim in exchange for supporting her. So too, when the brothers are supporting her and they're taking the place of the father, they should receive the Maisi Yadayim. Or maybe, no, that's a totally different relationship. When the father was alive, it was his money that was supporting them. When the father is dead, it's still the father's money that's supporting them. If the brothers have their own jobs that they make money from, that money doesn't support them, so maybe they're not entitled to the Maisi Yadayim. So the Gemara is ultimately going to have three rayas to try to prove whether the Maisi Yadayim belong to the brothers or not. So Amrle, raya number one, Rav Shesha says to Rabbi Avina, Tanisuha, we could bring a raya from the Mishnah we're going to have later in the Masechta, Almana Nizonis Minichse Yisomim Umaisi Yadayah Shalahed, that an Almana, that if a man dies and his wife survives him, so she gets supported from the Nichse Yisomim, and they get the Maisi Yadayim, because since they're the ones supporting her, they're going to get the Maisi Yadayim. So what do you see from the Mishnah? That the reason the Almana gets the Nichse Yisomim, even though she's not being supported from the Yisomim's own personal Nechassim, she's being supported from the estate of her deceased husband, but that's enough to require that that Beis Din makes it, that the Maisi Yadayim go to the Yisomim. So l'chora, the same should be true of a daughter who gets supported from the brothers, that even though she's not being supported from their personal funds, she's being supported from the estate, nevertheless, the Maisi Yadayim goes to the brothers. So says Mar, mi dami, that Mishnah is not about a bas, it's about an almana. And maybe you can't compare the two. Almanasa lo nicha lebarvacha, pita nicha lebarvacha. Maybe a person's attitude is that he wants to make sure that his wife, after he dies, has what to eat. His daughter, he wants to make sure that his daughter does well, that his daughter is comfortable. He wants to take care of his little girl in the best way possible. So when it comes to his almana, okay, he wants to make sure that there's going to be mezonos, but why should she be able to keep the Maisi Yadayim? He's happy to have the Maisi Yadayim go to his sons. When it comes to his daughter, he wants the Maisi Yadayim, he wants the daughter to be able to have a little harvacha, to be able to have a little extra spending money also. So says Gemara, is that true? Is a person's attitude that he wants his daughter to be better off than he wants his almana to be? L'meimer debito adifa me'almana. So, do we assume that one is more generous with his daughter than he is with his wife? V'amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yossi says about the takanas chachamim that if a person dies and he has sons and daughters and he only has nechasim muatim, he only has enough to support the sons and the daughters for 12 months, so the halach is the daughters get the supported from the nechasim because it's part of the Tanai Ksuba, and the sons don't get any Yerusha at all. So the halach is if he leaves a daughter and his wife, he leaves a daughter and an almana, asu almana itzel habas, kibas itzel achin bin nechasim muatim. Who we left behind was a wife and a daughter, not sons, a wife and a daughter, we treat the almana etzel the bas like we would treat the bas etzel the brothers. Meaning, just like when there are sons and daughters and there's nechasim watim, there's not that much money to go around. We give preference to the daughter, she gets the mezonos, so too when there's a daughter and a wife and there's not that much money to go around, we give preference to the wife, we give preference to the almana. Ma habas etzel achin, just like when it comes to the daughter and the sons. We're going to say the daughter is going to be the one that's going to receive the mezonos from the estate, even if that means the sons are going to have to go around begging for food. So too, when there's an almana and a bas, almana nizonos, v'abas tishal al psachim, the almana is going to be supported, and the daughter is going to have to go around begging for food. So don't you see from there that there's a preference that his almana be treated better than his daughter? So how can you tell me that the almana doesn't get to keep her maisi yadayim because all he cares is that the almana just has what to eat? But a daughter gets to keep her maisi yadayim since he wants his daughter to have harvacha. Over here you see that he prefers to take care of his almana over taking care of his daughter. So says Gemara, these are two different concepts. Linizi lusa almanasa difalei. Because when it comes to not even having mizonos, so the other option is going to be going around begging and asking other people for money and for food. That he doesn't want his almana to do. That he'd rather have his daughter do than have his almana do. But linin harvacha, but as far as having extra spending money, meaning if he knows everybody he's going to have what to eat, and it's only a question of having extra spending money, so then bito adifale, he's going to want his daughter to have the extra spending money more so than wanting his almana to. So that was raya number one and the rejection of the raya. So we thought that we can compare an almana to a bas, that just like the almana, the maisi adayim goes to the Yorshim, that by a bas also the Maisi Yadayim is going to go to the Yorshim. The Gemara says, no, that's not a good raya. So now the Gemara moves on to raya number two. What is the halacha? Does the daughter's Maisi Yadayim go to the brothers or not? So Masav Rav Yosef, we have a Mishnah in yesterday's daf, Maisi Yadayim Mitziyasa, Afal Pishlo Govsa, that Mesa Avarein Shalachin, that if you have Maisi Yadayim, or a Mitziyah that a daughter has, that really should belong to the father, even though it hasn't yet been collected while the father was alive. And then the father dies, so they get yarshined by the sons, because there was already a zuchus b'chaye avia, so it's considered to be the mammon of the father, and therefore the sons could yarshin it. So what do you see from there? Time of the b'chaye av. The only reason that the sons yarshin it is because it was earned while the father was alive, meaning she worked for a living, let's say she worked for the entire month, and she's owed a paycheck at the end of the month, and the father dies at the very end of the month. So now the brothers can collect that paycheck because it was earned during the father's lifetime. But it sounds like any Maisi Yadayim that she earns after the father's lifetime, liatzma, she gets to keep that, not the brothers. So my love b'nizonos, and isn't this talking about a case that even though the brothers are providing her mizonos from the estate, she still gets to keep the Maisi Yadayim? So you see Maisi Yadayim liatzma and not liachia. So it says, well, lo, b'shein and nizonos. Who told you we're talking about a case where they're supporting her? Maybe that Mishnah's talking about a case where they're not supporting her. So then of course she gets to keep the Maisi Yadayim. And that's why she gets to keep the Maisi Yadayim. Says, well, b'shein and nizonos. If they're not supporting her, then what's the chiddush that she gets to keep the Maisi Yadayim? Of course she gets to keep the Maisi Yadayim. If the whole chiddush is that the brothers yarshed in the Maisi Yadayim that she earned while the father was alive, that's a davar pashut, because that's a mammon that the father already had rights to, so of course he could be morish that. And if the chiddush is the diuk that she gets to keep the Maisi Yadayim, well, when she's not getting mizonos, of course she gets to keep the Maisi Yadayim that she earns after her father died. And even if you hold like the Shita, that a master is able to say to an Eved Kenani that I want you to continue to work for me, but I'm not going to be responsible for feeding you, and that he has a Dine Mamanus right to do that. Not a nice thing. He's probably not allowed to do that, but a Dine Mamanus, he's allowed to do that. Hani Mili Bevet Kenani, Imach. That's only by an Eved Kenani where it doesn't use the Torah doesn't use the word Imach, Kitov Lo Imach, like it does by an Eved Ivri. So by an Eved Ivri, Avad Eved Ivri, Dichsiv Be Imach, by never everywhere it says kitov lo imach, right? The Gemara in Kiddushin Chav Beis darshins imach b'machel, imach b'mishta, right? If there's only one pillow, the Evan gets the pillow and not you. Misha kana Evan liatzmo, kana adon liatzmo. When it comes to an Evan Ivri, you have to, the Evan Ivri has to live better than you do. So lo, then you certainly can't tell the Evan Ivri, I want you to continue to work for me, but I'm not providing you with the mizonos. You can't even tell that to an Evan Ivri. Kolshken bito. Certainly you can't tell that to a daughter. So if you're taking the Maisi Yadayim of the daughter, so certainly you have to give the mizonos. So the brothers that are taking the place of the father also cannot take her Maisi Yadayim when they're not going to be supporting her, because of what she's supposed to eat. So Mela, if you assume that the Mishnah is talking about when the brothers are not supporting her, there's no chiddush in that Mishnah. Of course Maisi Yadayim liatzma. Elamai, it must be that the Mishnah is talking about when the brothers are supporting her, and we see she still gets to keep her Maisi Yadayim. So answers Gemara, no. Amar Barula Lonitzcha Elahadafa. Maybe the Mishnah is really talking about when they're not supporting her. What's the chiddush that she's able to keep her Maisi Yadayim? Of course she can keep her Maisi Yadayim. The Iker Maisi Yadayim of what she needs to live on, that for sure, you're right. But what if she has a high-paying job? So I might have thought that the hadafa she has to give to the brothers, that much is still a right that the brothers have. So kamash malan, that when there's a hadafa, he's not morish that the father's not morish that zuchus to his sons. So Amar Rava, Gavar Rava, Krav Yosef, Liyata, Dika, Adafa, Vakamosef, Tiyufta. He says, I don't get it. Is it possible that someone as great as Rav Yosef is going to ask on Rav Sheshes from a Mishnah, and he's going to forget that there's a Chiddush on the Mishnah could be about Hadafa? Right? I mean, he starts challenging. What would the Chiddush on the Mishnah be? Maile Meimra? It must be that it's Eina Nizona. What do you mean, Maile Meimra? How do you forget about the concept of Hadafa? So it must be then we misunderstood Rav Yosef's kasha. Ella Amar Rav, and we'll call this the third raya. Rav Yosef Masnisin Gufa Kashalei. His kasha from the Mishnah was not the way we presented it. He had a problem with the way the Mishnah itself was presented, and it's because the words of the Mishnah were inherently difficult, and the only way to make the words of the Mishnah make sense is going to be a kasha on Rav Sheshes. And here's how it goes. The Katani, the Mishnah says, Maisi Adel Mitziyasa Afalpi Shalom Gavsa, that the Maisi Adel and the Mitziyos that she had, even though it was not collected yet while the father was alive, go to the brothers. So look, I understand Maisi Adayim, you could use the Lashon of Gevia. She could work a whole month, she hasn't yet collected her paycheck. Right? I get that it hasn't been collected by the time the father dies. But Mitziyasa Miman Gavia, how do you use the Lashon of Gevia when you talk about a Mitziyah? Meaning if she has the Mitziyah, she has the Mitziyah. If she doesn't have the Mitziyah, then she doesn't have the Mitziyah. There's no like time of rights to receive it and then collection. You pick up a Mitziyah and it's your Mitziyah. Allah Hachikam, know what it must be. So that Lashon is inherently problematic. And because that Lashon is inherently problematic, Rav Yosef says, Allah Hachikam, must be that this is what it's trying to tell us. The Mitziyah Deha Ki Mitziyasa, that we're trying to make a link between Maisi Adayim and Mitziyah, that Ma Mitziyasa B'chayi Av La'av, just like if she finds something while the father is alive, it goes to the father, and Li'achar Misav Li'atzma, and if she finds something after the father dies, she gets to keep it. The brothers definitely don't get her Mitziyah, so Af Maisi Adayanami, that we could say the same is true about Maisi Adayim. B'chayi Av La'av, if she makes Maisi Adayim while the father is alive, the father gets the Maisi Adayim. La'achar Misav Li'atzma, if she makes Maisi Adayim after the father dies, then she gets to keep it. So Shemamina, so you see, that's the raya from the Mishnah, that even if the daughter is being supported from the estate, so she's being Nizonus Mena Achim, she still gets to keep her Maisi Adayim. Itmar Nami Amar Vidam Rav, Basing Zos Mena Achim, Maisi Adel Atzma. And Rav also paskins Maisi Adeha Li Atzma. So Amar Rav Kana, my timer, why is it that the brothers don't get the Maisi Adayim of the daughter, even though she's being supported? Dechsiv, because the Torah says, Visnachaltam Osam Livnechem Acharechem, Osam Livnechem Velo Benoseichem Livnechem, that you can be Morish, your Evet Kanani, to your children, but you cannot be Morish, your daughter, to your sons. Your sons are not the owners of your daughter, and nor do they now own the rights that you had in the daughter. The father had certain rights in the daughter. He cannot be Morish, the Zuchuyos that he has in the daughter, to his sons. And therefore, even though while the father was alive, he was entitled to her Maisi Adayim, after he dies, the sons are not entitled to the Maisi Adayim. The Tosos raises a question that the whole makar that a father is zochin Maisi Debito is from a hekesh to me'ivria. The Gemara is going to say in Memvavim base, how do I know Maisa Basla Via? Because it says v'chiyim kardishas bito la'amma. So we see that a father could tell his daughter as an amma. So just like an amma is Maisi Adel la Rabba, so to a bas is Maisi Adel la Via. So since the banim cannot sell their sister as an amma, right? That's the Gemara in the first part of Kiddushin, that sons cannot sell their sister as an amma, so why should they be entitled to Maisi Adayim? The whole way to be entitled to Maisi Adayim in the first place is only because you have the rights to sell her as an amma ivria and the comparison to amma ivria. So Tal says, I don't see why we need a pasuk over here. I don't need to exist a pasuk. There's no basis for which they can collect Maisi Adayim. They don't have the right to sell her as an amma ivria. So Tosa suggests that the Gemara is going to say that the hekesh between a bas and an amma is only needed by a nara. By a katana, it's a svara, that if you find that if a father is able to sell his daughter, so certainly Maisi Adeh Shalom. Otherwise, it would turn out that by selling her, he's costing her Maisi Adayim. So since misvara it's Maisi Adayim Shalom, so I would think that would be something he could be morish, dafka by a katana. So that's the distinction Tosus makes between nara and a katana. Okay, so now this limul is challenged. Maskafla Rabba, Vema Pitoy Abasu Knasu Chavalsa Kosu Medaber. Maybe when the Torah tells us that Velo Beno Sechem Levnechem, that you can't be Morish, the Zuchuyos you have in your daughter to your son, maybe it's only talking about very common things like payments of onus and mufata and Knasu Motzi Shema and things like that. Very uncommon things, rather. Like how often is it? Hopefully, it's very uncommon that there's a payment of an onus and mufata or a Motzi Shema or someone is chovel in her. So since it's very uncommon, it's not mistaver that the sons are going to yarsh in such things. But maybe when it comes to Maisi Adayim, which is very common, a girl opens a lemonade stand. stand and she sells some lemonade. So it's very common that there's something that she's able, even though those always lose money. It's very common that there's something that she's going to earn. So maybe that the brothers do yarshin. So and Rabbi strengthens his kasha. That the pasuk is only talking about those types of things of pitoy abas knasos chavalos, but maybe ma'isi adayim, which is much more common, maybe the sons do yashin. So the Gemara responds or brings up akasha from the brisa chavalos tsara dugufaninu. The brisa is kaveh that a person cannot be morish things that are uncommon, like and it lists off chavala as one of those things that the father has the rights to, but he can't be morish that to his children. So the Gemara just takes a pause for a second. The father has the rights to the chavalos. Chaval tsar duguvaninu. That's a physical tsar that the daughter herself experiences. The father shouldn't have the right in the tsar of the daughter. Tosfos explains that we're talking about small chavalos, which do not involve bittul malacha. If it's a chavala that involves bittul malacha, then yeah, it does cost the father, and it makes sense that the father should have the right to. But if it doesn't involve bittul malacha, so it's totally the daughter's. So Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina shepatu befaneha. No, someone did damage to her face, so it makes her very unattractive, and therefore he's losing the value in the daughter in terms of how much he could sell her for. So the Gemara brings other Amorayim that say in the name of Rav that a person cannot be morish that which the rights that he has in his daughter. Amar Bizera Amar Masa Amar Rav Amar Lo Amar Bizera Amar Masa Amar Rav Bas Hanizonus Min Achin Mais Yodel La Atzma. What was the difference between Amar Bizera Amar Masa Amar Rav Va Amar Lo Amar Rabbi Zera Amar Masa Amar Rav? It changes it from Rav Zera to Rabbi Zera. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Zera and Rav Zera are really the same person. It's just that when he was in Bavel before he got Smicha, he was called Rav Zera, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael and he got Smicha, he was called Rabbi Zera. So the whole machlokas between these two lashonos is when he said this during his lifetime. It's not who it is that said it. It's at what point in his life he said it, while he was still in Bavel or when he made his way to Eretz Yisrael. But either way, he quotes from Masna Merav, "Bas and Yizonos Menach and Ma'is Yedel La'atzma D'suvach V'snachal D'masam Nechem Achrechem Masam Nechem Lo B'nosechem Nechem Magashen Od Demor Shuchus Bital." Of note that the Ma'is Yedayim, even though the daughter is being supported from the estate by the brothers, she still gets to keep the Ma'is Yadayim. Amar Le Avimi Bar Papi Shakud Amra. That you should know, this statement was said by the Amora known as Shakud. Shakud Manu. Who is the Amora known as Shakud? What kind of nickname is that? Shmuel. The Amora known as Shakud is Shmuel. Because Shmuel was always very careful very diligent. Shakud means to be very diligent. He was very diligent to say the halach exactly precisely. But Harab Amra, what do you mean Shmuel said it? It was Rav. We just quoted Rav 15 times. That Rav is one that says that she gets the Ma'is Yadayim. Say Ema Av Shakud Amar. No, this is one of those cases where Rav and Shmuel agree. So it's a pretty good authority. So Amar Bar Amem Ravashi Hachra Min Nardai. They would say in Nardai Hilchsa Kavasid Rav Sheshes. The Halacha follows Rav Sheshes that the Ma'is Yadayim of the daughter go to the brothers and not to herself. Ravashi Amar Kavasid Rav. But Ravashi disagrees and says no. We pass on like Rav that the Ma'is Yadayim go to her and not to the brothers. Vilchsa Kavasid Rav. And we pass on like Rav that she gets to keep the Ma'is Yadayim. So that's the end of that discussion, which is the second topic under the daf, which was who gets the Ma'is Yadayim when the father dies. Does the daughter get to keep her own Ma'is Yadayim? Does it go to the father? End of the day, the Gemara passed and she gets to keep her own Ma'is Yadayim. Now a new Mishnah. So says the Mishnah. Hamaris is pito v'gersha. If a father gives over his daughter for an erusin when she's a katana or a nara, and then the husband divorces her after the erusin before they ever had nisuin or irsa, and then again the father gives her over for erusin v'nisarmala, and this time the husband died. So ksubasa shalod, the ksuba that she collects from both of those erusins go to the father, not to the daughter, because the father has the rights in whatever mamon the daughter earns. She's still b'rishos ha'av, and she didn't leave the Rishos Ha'av at Erisin. So since both marriages ended still in the Erisin period, the father gets to collect the Ksubas. He see a Vigirsha, but what if he gave her up for and she already had Nisuin, and then the first husband divorced her? He see a Vinisarmla, he gave her up for Nisuin, and then she became an Almana. So then Ksubas HaShalav, then she is the one that has the right to collect the Ksuba, because she, at the time of the collection of the Ksuba, she's no longer Rishos Aviyah. Once the Nisuin happens, she's outside of Rishos Aviyah. Sevilla. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on that seifa, on that halacha that we just said, that after the Nisuin, the father loses the right to the ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harishona Shel Av. The ksuba from the first Nisuin is still going to go to the father, because the shibud of that ksuba started before the Nisuin, before she was outside of the Rishos Av. Her second marriage, after she already had one Nisuin, so then the second marriage, the ksuba only began after she already had her first Nisuin, so she was already outside of the Rishos. But from the first marriage, that belongs to the father. So Amulod, Rabban said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Mishisiya, in Lavi Rishuspa. What are you talking about? Once she got married, once she had Nisuin, the father loses the rights. So I don't care that the Ksuba was signed at the Chasen Stish, you know, before the Erisin or whatever of the first marriage. The Ksuba is only being collected after Nisuin. After Nisuin, the father is, she's outside of the Rishus Aviya. So that's the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So Agav, the Gemara just says, you know, time with Yisiv Gishi, Yisiv Nisar. When it wants to come up with a case where the girl had two Nisuins, what does it say? She had a Nisuin and the husband divorced her. And then she had a Nisuin and the husband dropped dead. So why not just give a case where she had a Nisuin, the husband died, another Nisuin, the husband died? Meaning it would have illustrated the same concept, that once she had a Nisuin, the Ksuba gets collected by her and not by the father, according to the Chachamim. Aval Nisarmala Trezimni Sulu Chazilin Suve. The reason it only mentions Gerishin and then Nisu and then Almana, but not an Almana twice, is because if she were to become an almana twice, then she becomes a katlanis. Then she would not be able to get married again, because we assume that she's becheskas, that she that her husbands die. So and agavorche kasasim lantan kerebi damer betreizim niave chazaka. And derech agav, the Mishnah is telling us that that's enough to make a chazaka, just by being married twice and having two husbands die. It's machlokas, is it betreizim niave chazaka or betlasim niave chazaka? So we're assuming, like Shita's Rabbi, that twice is enough for a chazaka. The Rishonim are a little bit bothered. The diuk that we're making is, why didn't it say that she became an almana twice? And we're saying, oh, it didn't say she became an almana twice, because that would have made her a katlanis. Why didn't it say that she became a grusha twice? Why do we have to mix it up? A grusha once, and then an almana once? Could have said she becomes a grusha twice. So the Achronim say that it could depend on the machlokas and Masechta Yevamos of what makes Nisha a katlanis. Is it Mayana Garam or Mazala Garam? If it's Mayana Garam, it means that she has some sort of sexually transmitted disease that she's killing her husbands with. If it's mazala garam, it's just that she has bad mazel. So if she became a grusha twice, she's not killing husbands. She's just, they're just divorcing her. So it could be that that becoming a grusha, there's a machlokas we showed him, whether a woman has a din of a katlanis, so to speak, of a garshanis, I guess, if husbands keep divorcing her. So if you hold that mayana garam, so certainly not. But if you hold mazala garam, machlokas we showed him, maybe bad mazel leads to divorce also. So maybe that's why it wouldn't say divorce twice either, if you assume like those we showed him, that she could become umuchzekes for divorce. Then we going back to the actual topic of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Harishona Shel Av. So Rabbi Yehuda had said that the ksuba from the first marriage goes to the father. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why would he say that? So Rabbi Yehuda Damit Avayu Hol Mishas Erusin Zach Ben Av. That Minat Torah the chiv of ksuba in a chinami only kicks in at Nisuin. But Midrabanan the chiv of the ksuba is already Mishas Erusin, and therefore the father was zoche in the shibud of the ksuba, because it was at the time of Erusin before she had left his rishos. So Masav Rava challenges based on a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Harishona Shel Av Umoda Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda's moda b'ma'aris is bituk shiktana ubagra v'achar kach nises, that if a guy gives his daughter over for erusin when she's a katana, and then she not only becomes a nara, she becomes a bogeres, and then she has nisuin as a bogeres, she'en lo v'yerushuspa. Rabbi Yehuda would agree in such a case she collects her own ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda only says the father collects her ksuba from the first marriage when she became a nesua before she became a bogeres. But if Rabbi and Rav Yosef's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda is correct, that the basis of Rabbi Yehuda was that he was already zocha mishas erusin, because midrabanan there's already ksuba mishas erusin, why does the fact that she became a bogeres make a difference? Hachanami le mahol mishas erusin zocha benav. That since Mishas Erusin, the father was Zocha, so she was Nisar Sukshi Katana, so the father should still have the rights. Eli Yitmar Hachi Yitmar. No, here's what Rabbi Rav Yosef meant to say. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damar Tavayu, Hol Uber Suso Nichtavin. The reason Rabbi Yehuda holds the father gets the Ksuba from the first marriage is because the Shtar Ksuba was written while she was in his Rishus before the Nisuin. So since at that time the Chiv Ksuba was Chal Minatora,
So that's why the father gets the ksuba. So the koveya, as far as the father's right to the ksuba, is when is the ksuba written? That's when the husband is becoming meshubad in a shtar, and that's when it's considered to be that the ksuba money goes to the father. So if at the time of reading of the writing of the shtar ksuba, she was already bershus, she was still bershus aviyah, meaning she was a ketana or a nara at the time of the nisuin, then the father gets the ksuba. But if by the time of the nisuin she was already a Geres, then the father's not going to get the ksuba, because we actually put pen to paper. There may be a din derabanan that there are rights to a ksuba from Erisin. We only put pen to paper and make a ksuba when she's already been nisuin. So at the time of nisuin, if she's no longer in the father's jurisdiction, then she would not be entitled to then the father would not be entitled to the ksuba anymore. So the Gemara says umigve meimaskavia. So I'm rafuna manu masay min Erisin v'tosefes min nisuin. So maybe, you know, we'll start with the migve meimaskavia, because that's really sort of a new discussion. That's with Sasha tomorrow. Okay, have a good day, everybody.